bastard star. His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise.
Welcome to Finding God in Prison with your host, Deacon Joe Montone, the founder and director of the WINGS program, an inmate reentry and recovery program. And now, here's your host, Deacon Joe Montone.
Good afternoon, my friends, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio and our program, Finding God in Prison. My name is Joe Montone, your host. It's a privilege and a pleasure to be back here with you on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. This is Easter weekend coming up, and we celebrate Resurrection Day and the passion, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. So powerful an event that world time is based on that event. So with that, we're going to be focusing today on forgiveness, also on the wounds of Christ, which is so important. And as we get started in our program, we want to focus on the one prayer that really helps us to identify, you know, the evolution of events that went into the Lord's death and resurrection. And so as we look at the rosary, the Holy Rosary, the sorrowful mystery specifically of the rosary, which is all about the life, death, and resurrection of Christ, we want to look at the sorrowful mysteries. And the sorrowful mysteries of the rosary, number one, are focused on the agony of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And so in the garden, we see Jesus on his knees praying to his Father in heaven. And he, you know, basically says to his Father, "Father, if it be possible, please take this cup from me. Nevertheless, your will be done." And with that, he can see, because of his divine nature and human nature, he could see up ahead the great pain and torture and suffering that he would endure. And he actually sweats drops of blood. And this is in the Word of God. This is in Scripture. And so, you know, the Lord, you know, although he could see what he was about to endure, he was still willing to do the Father's will. He had the courage, and he had the help of the Father himself through the Holy Spirit to carry him through this great evolution once again of events. And so the agony of Jesus in the garden is the great event that begins the sorrowful mysteries of the rosary. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, God the Father sends an angel to help him through this great moment of suffering and torture. The second sorrowful mystery of the rosary is the scourging of Jesus at the pillar. And this is where, you know, the Lord is truly beaten to a pulp, and he is, given a tremendous beating, the greatest beating of all mankind. No man, no human being could have endured what the Lord went through, but his divine nature carried him through this event once again, the scourging of Jesus at the pillar. The crowning of Jesus with thorns, the third sorrowful mystery. And here Jesus is crowned with a crown with thorns that actually pierced his head. One went through his eye, and he suffered great pain. You know, it was an incredible amount of suffering that he endured. And in just a moment, we're going to go through exactly what he did endure, and through divine revelation that comes our way through the Pietà prayer book, and through the great relationship of Saint Elizabeth, the Queen of Hungary, Saint Matilda, and Saint Bridget, who basically were wishing to know something about the passion of Jesus Christ. They wanted to know more, and they prayed fervently, special prayers, upon which there appeared to them our Lord Jesus Christ, who spoke to them in a special way. And they wanted to know about the wounds of Christ. And here is a paragraph on page 28 from the Pietà prayer book about the wounds of Christ. Be it known that the number of armed soldiers were 150. Those who trailed Jesus while he was bound were 23. The executioners of justice were 83. The blows received on his head were 150. Those on his stomach, 108. Kicks on his shoulder were 80. He was led bound with cords by the hair 24 times. Spits in the face were 180. He was beaten on the body 6,666 times. Beaten on the head 110 times. He was roughly pushed and at 12 o'clock was lifted up by the hair. Pricked with thorns and pulled by the beard 23 times. He received 20 wounds on the head, thorns of marine junk 72, pricks of thorns in the head 110, mortal thorns in the forehead 3. He was afterwards flogged and dressed as a mocked king. Wounds in the body were 1,000. The soldiers who led Jesus to the Calvary were 608. Those who watched him were 3, and those who mocked him were 1,008. The drops of blood which Jesus lost were 28,430. And we offer this information up to you, my friends, through divine revelation, once again coming from the Pietà prayer book, because this show today is focusing on the wounds of Christ and what can we do about things such as wounds that we inflict on other people? And we know that when we talk about the passion and death of Jesus, that he did it all for us. He did it all so that we can have a situation where we are saved from our sins and we have access to eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ and going up to our Father for eternity. But the Lord did it for us. And as we get back to the sorrowful mysteries, remember the first sorrowful mystery, the agony of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. The second sorrowful mystery, the scourging of Jesus at the pillar. The third sorrowful mystery, the crowning of Jesus with thorns. And then the fourth sorrowful mystery, which is the carrying of the cross up Calvary Hill, where Jesus falls 3 times. And he gets the help of Simon, a Cyrenian. And we see that the Lord, you know, allows Simon to help him, although his divine nature is carrying him through this incredible evolution of events. The Lord allows Simon. And the message here is that we sometimes have to help other people to carry their crosses. In life, sometimes you give help and sometimes you need help from other people. But here in the fourth sorrowful mystery, we see the Lord carrying his cross up Calvary Hill, carrying the cross until his death. And it's a powerful moment because the Lord gets up several times after falling down. 3 times he falls, and that heavy, heavy cross creates the great shoulder wound on the Lord's shoulder, which is, you know, very powerful. And as he gets up to the top of Calvary Hill, and he is nailed to the cross, creating 5 wounds, sacred wounds, through his hands, through his feet. And then later on, we see at the top of the cross, when Jesus is there, he is pierced with a sword in his side. And I just tell you that the fifth sorrowful mystery, the crucifixion and death of our Lord Jesus Christ, The Lord brings us a great message once again when he says at the top of the cross, you know, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And here we see the Lord and his divine nature allowing a great message to be sent, even though he's been under tremendous pain and suffering. The Lord tells everyone in a prayer to the Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And sometimes you and I, my friends, are not aware of what we're doing. The pain we inflict on other people, just like the Lord's pain himself. People did not know what they were doing, and yet they carried it through. They went through tremendous, time, and really took the Lord out in a unique way through a crucifixion, which was very popular back then to crucify people. But I just tell you that in the Lord's message of forgiveness, we can benefit by this, because the Lord always brings good out of bad. And in the Wings program, my friends, we know that many of the wingmen have inflicted wounds on other people. We've had men who have committed 72 crimes and been arrested 72 times. Men who have committed homicide and arson and burglaries and home invasions, holding people at gunpoint, amazing crimes and amazing stories of tragedy. So today, this show is dedicated to our Lord Jesus Christ and to the men who have inflicted wounds on other people. Today, we ask the wingmen themselves who are listening today, the men who are incarcerated, men who are in recovery from substance abuse and alcoholism, to be inspired, to be motivated, to offer apologies to the victims who they have inflicted wounds upon. We ask, Father God, that you will touch the heart and mind of everyone who is listening to this program today, whether incarcerated behind prison walls, or whether in a home, a school, a hospital, corporate America, in government, whoever is out there listening today, we ask, Father God, that you lift up their heart and their mind and allow them to pick up a pen and write a letter of apology. And for the people, my friends, who have been out there as the victims, we ask that you too be lifted up and that you rise to the occasion and forgive as the Lord calls us to do. Because in the Our Father prayer, we know that our Father in heaven, as the Lord taught us, to forgive others as we forgive those who trespass against us. And the Lord calls us to forgive. And in the Word of God, it calls us to, you know, make amends with our brothers and sisters before we bring a gift to the altar for God. And this is where we have to take a step back and have great humility before God and follow his lead, follow his word at the top of the cross once again when he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And so there he forgives the people who wounded him. And he has died truly to save us all from our sins, because we're all sinners. But in the practical sense, my friends, you and I need to take stock of ourselves and to own up to what we've done to other people in word and action in different ways. And some of the things we see in the Wings program is abuse and neglect. We see verbal abuse, mental abuse, physical abuse, financial abuse, and we see sexual abuse, sometimes of children. We see all kinds of crimes. And we want to encourage and inspire people out there, whoever you are, to make amends this weekend as we celebrate Easter weekend coming up. And today being Good Friday, where the Lord shows us the great goodness that God our Father has given us through sparing, you know, nothing, leaving no stone unturned, giving His Son, His only begotten Son, and His life up so that we can have a chance to be with Him in heaven. We ask that today you be lifted up, my friends, and take action to offer once again an apology to the people that you have either intentionally or unintentionally hurt. And for the victims, we ask that you be lifted up once again and inspired to forgive those people who have wounded you. Because, as we talk about in the Wings program, we can't change the past. We only wish that we could, but there's no way to do it. There are three things in the world that we cannot change. And number one is the past. We can never change the past. So we understand the past. We accept the past. We forgive the past. And God gives us a great peace to go forward in the immediate and not too distant future. If we created a wound on someone, then we understand it. We accept it because we can't change it. And then we offer a letter of apology or a phone call of apology. And God gives us the peace once again to go forward to the future. So there's three things that you cannot change. And that's the strategy to find peace, which is one of the things that the Lord has given us. The peace of God He brings. And He said many times, the peace be with you. Peace be upon you. And this is what we want to live with in the 168, the total time available in a 24-hour day and 7-day week, 168 total hours of time. We want that peace. So once again, there are three things you cannot change. The first is the past. The second is your biological family that you are born into. Sometimes people are born into some very difficult situations. It could be a divorce. It could be a parent with addiction. It could be parents who are incarcerated. All kinds of stories out there, my friends. But we cannot change our biological families. And the third thing we cannot change is God's laws. Please don't try to change God's laws because you will die trying. What God says to do and not to do is the law. What He gave to Moses on the top of Mount Sinai is the law for us to follow, to live by. And this is important. But once again, we're highlighting the wounds that we sometimes inflict on other people and the value of offering an apology or forgiveness to a person who's on the opposite side. And we've all been on both sides. And these two things, apology and forgiveness, require great humility. And the Lord Himself at the top of the cross, being stripped and tortured and beaten and crucified, shows tremendous humility as a man. Because we know that He could have stopped it at any time and avoided the entire thing. But He leads the way in humility. He leads the way in so many areas. The attributes of Christ are endless in humility and compassion, understanding and patience and kindness and love for other people. The Lord's ability to lead us as a role model, as the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the breath of life, the Lord Himself is the pathway to the future in heaven. No one comes to the Father except through me, says the Lord in the Word of God. And the goal for us, my friends, is to get to the Father in heaven. It's going to take humility for you and I to get to heaven. And if we don't have it, we need to make that change right now. And there's no better time to do it than today, Good Friday. A day where we reflect on the wounds of Christ, the wounds that were inflicted on Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, 2,000 years ago. So powerful an event is the life, death, and resurrection of Christ that world time is based on that event. And today, we acknowledge once again, as we do every year, the value of what Jesus has done for us. Never to be ignored, never to be put last on the list, always to be highlighted and put up on a pedestal, to be spotlighted, so that we understand that the Lord is number one and we are number two. We submit to our Lord Jesus Christ and our Father in heaven, because it was our Father who loves us so much that He gave His only Son. How many of us would give up a son so that other people can benefit? How many people would do that? My friends, we're talking about our Lord Jesus Christ. And this weekend, we encourage, we inspire all of our listening audience to make things right in your families, in your friendships, in your marriages, in the workplace, wherever your circle takes you, to show humility amongst men and rise to the occasion and offer that letter of apology or letter of forgiveness, and do it today. And if someone doesn't accept your apology, you can do it once or twice. If they don't accept it, you move forward, my friends. But God knows your heart. If it's sincere and it's from the heart and you want the best for that person because you had wounded them in the past, God knows your heart. God says in the book of 1 Samuel, He says, do not measure a man by his lofty stature or by his appearance, because I have already rejected that man. Not as man sees, does God see. Because man looks at the appearance, but God looks into the heart of a man. Where is your heart today, my friends? To the men out there, to the women out there. Are you showing any humility out there, or are you showing only toughness? Are you showing humility to your children by telling them, I love you, I miss you, thank you, please, can you help me? I love you so much. Are you getting on your knees, my friends, and praying to God, thanking Him for everything you've been given? Everything, all of your blessings, graces, and gifts. Or are they taken for granted? God calls us to rise to the occasion, to raise the standards, and to get on our knees. One knee at a time, my friends. Stable, but one knee at a time, calling us to thank God for everything we have, for my marriage, for my children, for my grandchildren, for my health, for my work, my ability to bring home food, to provide, for my great friendships, and for all the blessings that we don't even know about that God provides each and every day. Are we thanking God for what he did for us 2,000 years ago in giving his only begotten son, who received the wounds that we spoke about in the sorrowful mysteries of the rosary, those five incredible events that define the sorrowful mysteries of the Holy Rosary, which is through Mary's eyes, because Mary, our Blessed Mother, was there in his life, in his death, and in his resurrection. She endured great suffering as well, watching her son receive the wounds that he did, because she was there. It was the Father's plan for salvation. And it all began with Mary's yes, well before that, when she was visited by the angel Gabriel in the Annunciation of Mary, our Blessed Mother, the first joyful mystery of the Rosary, the Annunciation of Mary, taking us right on through, my friends, to the five sorrowful mysteries of the Rosary. Mary was there, and she was there at the foot of the cross when the Lord at the top of the cross said to her and Saint John, he said, "Son, behold your mother. Woman, behold your son." Our Blessed Mother Mary was given to us as our eternal mother at the top of the cross by our Lord Jesus Christ. And she was with him through his life, death, and resurrection, my friends. This is Easter Sunday coming up this weekend. The Lord shows us how he brings good out of bad, and he gives everything he has for us so that we can have a chance at eternal life with our Father in heaven. My friends, that's our show for today. May God bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Have a great day. God bless you, and have a happy Easter.